All righty, let's get to business because this is a huge game.
Yes, will this man be bathed in champagne by the end of the night?
Well, I'm not sure. Let's welcome the general manager of footy for the Adelaide Crows, Adam Kelly. Hello, Adam.
Afternoon, Kim and Rooch, and to your listeners.
Yeah. Must have been a better week this week, Adam.
It is a lot easier to turn up to work on a Monday after victory. There's no doubt in that. We'd been desperate for that victory over the first four rounds, and to the credit of the coaches and players, we were able to turn around what was some pretty ordinary form a few weeks prior against Fremantle in particular. To turn that around and get a strong win away was very satisfying.
Mm. That was just an awful game, full stop. Oh, I was going to beg to differ then.
Hello?
No, well, it's all about the W's and you're 0-4, but you lose to Melbourne by 15 points. I'm not sure if was that the game or was it the Geelong game when Fogg runs into an open goal from 3 metres out and hits the post. I mean,
you were the first one to say if butts and candy nuts.
No, I'm just saying the form, and apart, take the Gold Coast game away, there was some really good form against good sides in Geelong and Melbourne.
Yes, well, we think both those games at home in particular, well, plus 13 or plus 16 into our 50s against the Cats, but we weren't able to connect with our forwards. And the Melbourne game, we took a lot of steps forward after the disappointment of that Fremantle game. And I think the foundation for the win against Carlton was really set the week before against Melbourne, and our focus back onto our systems and roles. And so the players have adhered to that strongly over the last couple of weeks. The icing on the cake last week was better inside 50 connection and ability to hit the scoreboard. So there's been a lot of hard work over what has only been a short period of time, but you know, one win also doesn't make for a form turnaround, and we need to back that up this week. Yep.
Adam, are we going to see a late change? How's Brody Smith?
Now, he's preparing to play, so barring anything going wrong late in the day, that'll be the case. You know, as is the case with any other player, we go through those final warm-ups and make sure we can get through that okay. But, yes, Brody's set to play.
Sam Berry, hero on Saturday. Which day was it, Adam? I get confused with this fixture, but he's a hero in that game against Carlton. How's he handled the week?
Yeah, well, it's obviously exciting for any footballer to be in that circumstance, and especially so in what was a pretty stirring victory away from home. So we're just hoping that Sam can bottle that confidence. We've got a lot of belief in Sam. He had a fantastic season 2022, probably struggled to recapture that form in 23, had a wonderful pre-season. And you know, what he showed, not only in that last quarter against the Blues on the weekend, but even coming in as a sub against Melbourne the week before, he showed quite a bit as well. We're really excited about what Sam can bring. And with Matty Crouch, unfortunately, being suspended this week, he gets a good opportunity to have a good look at it.
Any thought of challenging that?
Sorry, beg your pardon?
Any thought of challenging the Matt Crouch suspension?
Yes, we gave it. We always give it thought. We were pretty comfortable that the MRO had interpreted that in line with the guidelines. And guess what the current expectations are? There are some exceptions to the rule when it comes to that type of incident. And really, what led us to not challenge in the end was that Matt initiated the body contact and then went back to the football, whereas if he had had his hands down at the football, it might have been a little bit different.
You're allowed to do that, though. That's called using your body. The ball's within 5 metres. Was there another camera angle that was conclusive that he did hit his head? Because we're only seeing the one angle.
Yeah, I think it was pretty safe, and then the medical report suggested that there was some high contact, in the necks included as high when it comes to an assessment. I think that the difficulty for the modern day player is that as you approach that contest, I think Matt, you know, he's used a good technique as far as being able to protect himself and protect that space to be able to take possession of the footy. But the difficulty is you've got to anticipate what your opponent is going to do in that circumstance. And had the opponent employed the same technique as Matt, it would have been more side on side, and and it's probably play on. But, you know, in this day and age, players have got to make those assessments. Mm-hmm. It's very hard on the player in a split second to be able to do that. But in this circumstance, there wasn't enough caution exhibited by Matt in the eyes of the MRO and the AFL. So we take the 1 week suspension.
Adam, I'm not asking this with tongue in cheek. I'm being quite serious. On the events of the week, do you now wish you had gone to the tribunal, pleaded guilty, brought in a good character reference, and got off with a good bloke defence?
Look, I guess that's the exceptional and compelling element of the tribunal guidelines have been there for quite some time. It's actually something that we tried to utilise back in 2020 when David McKay was offered a 1 week ban. We're unsuccessful at the time. We thought we had a pretty strong case back there, given that David had played 230 games without ever being reported. But I think, as has been explained, it's whilst that was an element of the consideration, there are other considerations, and I think it was deemed that the contact might have been at the lower end of medium, and Charlie plead guilty, and a few other factors that might have weighed into the decision making. But that's the discretion of the tribunal until that changes. I guess that's a possibility that clubs could utilise that.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, just on the good bloke rule, I don't know if you heard it, Adam. Chris Fagan was interrogated at his press conference today. We're going to play that a little bit later. I know you'll be listening, Adam. You love the show. Let's go to the emergencies. Dowling, Pedler, Himmelberg. Was there any thought, given Brodie Smith's situation, of maybe bringing Dan Curtin on the list, or the fact that he can't make an emergency, is he still a little way away from AFL footy?
It's interesting with emergencies. They don't always point to the next player in. Mm. I guess you're trying to cover quite a few things within your selection and what may go wrong. And I guess in this instance, as far as tall cover, whether that be offensive or defensive, we've included Elliot Himmelberg there. He's obviously spent most of his career as a forward, but has played back this year. So he just gives us good cover as an emergency. So, I wouldn't read too much into that. It is somewhat of a sign, like Billy Dowling, who's been in very good form at Sanford level, but sometimes you're also picking for what gives you the best cover leading into a game.
Jordan Butts didn't have the best pre-season. He had a couple of hammy injuries, and is it the same hamstring now, and you've lost him for 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's same leg, different sort of injury. We're hopeful that it may not be as long as that. He's presented quite well this week. He was obviously able to get through the game, and we're grateful that he did. He was really important to us, being able to play out that second half and important for us getting over the line. So fingers crossed it may not be the 3 weeks, and he's an outside chance. I think at this stage, the way he's presenting, he'd be an outside chance for next week.
Adam, can you give us some understanding of where Rory Sloane is at the moment?
Look, it's one that I guess it's pretty well understood as what, you know, the injury he's sustained plus the history of injuries he's had with his eyes. And so I guess from the moment it happened, we understood that this was a significant assessment that he was going to need to undertake with regards to the risk of a returning to the field. And it's one that we've sort of left with him. We are under no time pressure as far as him making that decision. And as he's making that decision, I guess he's seen multiple specialists. He's been trialling various goggles. He's obviously having lots of conversations with those who are close to him, and most importantly, his family. So we just want to give him the time and space to make the decision at his in his own timeline. I think that's really important. He obviously deserves it, given the career that he's had and the service he's provided to the footy club. And it is a big decision because he's got to weigh up the risk versus the reward. So we're there to support him, give him counsel and chat things through whenever he needs it. But he continues to train he'll make a decision when the time is right for him.
While you say there's no pressure on a timeline that you're putting towards him, what's the issue with you in the mid-season draft? Do you have to have a certain date where you present a list to the AFL saying this is two spots that have opened up?
Yeah, we do. Unfortunately, we've now got, we will have two spots already as we go into the mid-season draft, given Wayne Miller's injury and now Paddy Parnell, who had his shoulder reconstructed during the week. So, yeah, we'll have two spots in any event, and we're not likely to want to entertain taking any more than that.
Understood.
Do you have your eyes on a few players, and do you think you'll be active in that space?
Yeah, look, it's one that all clubs prepare for. Even if you didn't have a spot, you never know what's going to happen in the week or two leading up. So all clubs prepare. I know that our guys have sort of narrowed it down to a list of 20-odd players at this point, but it's actually, we've only had a couple of state league matches across the various competitions, and same with the Coast League over in Victoria. So it's not a lot of evidence of performance to this point to make a really good assessment, but we've got some preliminary names that we're tracking as we lead up to the mid-season draft.
Would Will Snelling be on that list?
To be honest with you, I actually don't know who's on the list. Okay. I know there are some players on the list, but I wouldn't be able to recount all 20. So I'm not entirely sure. I know he's obviously started the season really well with Sturt.
Hey, Adam, are you intrigued or bemused by all the commentary and speculation around your midfield management in the first five rounds?
Look, it's one that I can understand, the interest and the commentary. And when if you don't isolate it just to our midfield, but more broadly, we weren't playing great football. So there's a lot of doubt about the way we're going about things, and midfield included. And you know, we went into the season, I think we were quite open in talking that some of our smaller forwards would be spending more time through the midfield in Isaac and Josh, which they did in the early rounds. But I guess that was escalated a bit last week against Carlton. So, look, we're always trying to get that mix right. Some of our inside mids have enjoyed fantastic starts. The Matt Crouch has been in terrific form. We won't have him tonight. So we're always looking at that, but we have to acknowledge that last week with that mix that we had and Isaac in particular, and the role that Josh Rochelle played higher up the ground, and then obviously the impact Sam Berry had in that last quarter. And Jake Sligo went back-to-back with really strong performances against Melbourne and Carlton.
A couple of weeks ago, Essendon looked second rate. They looked like bottom dwellers against Port Adelaide. Then last week, they looked like a top four side against the Western Bulldogs, who looked like they could be premiers last night. It's a weird and wacky season. What's your expectation with the Bombers tonight?
Well, we haven't beaten them since 2017. And all we know is that the AFL competition is an extremely tight and tough competition. And we watched the Bombers live last week against the Bulldogs, and they were very impressive. And then to watch the way that the Bulldogs played last night, I think we well and truly understand we're in for a big test tonight. And we're looking forward to another opportunity to get a win at home and reward the support of our fans, who have been unbelievable across our two games at Adelaide Oval this year.
Adam, while you haven't seen Adelaide's recruiting list, I'm sure you've got a file that says National Reserves competition. Is there anything more developing on your front there?
Look, there's a competitive balance review being undertaken by the AFL at the moment, which has been fairly public, and they provided some updates on that through the week. We understand that a lot of things have changed since we entered the sample competition back in 2014. And the competition, you know, maybe doesn't address some of the needs that we have here in 2024, especially when it comes to player access in the mid-season draft, in the pre-season supplemental period, etc. So there's a lot that's changed. And, you know, we need to make sure that whatever second tier or competition that we're playing in is best suiting our needs. And we've been vocal in saying that, you know, the current isn't optimal because it's not as affording as opportunities as what the VFL is, in particular on the Eastern Seaboard. So we need to be considerate of other opportunities as well.
Adam, we know you're busy. Last one, a really quickie, yes or no answer. Will anyone do a lockdown job on Zach Merritt tonight?
We'll wait and see.
Ah, I knew I wouldn't get a yes or no. I thought if I cornered you and pressured you, I might just get you on the hop there. Adam, we wish you all the best tonight. The game gets underway at 10 past 7 at the Adelaide Oval. Let's hope there's a massive crowd. All the best.
Thanks, gents. Bye.
Thanks, Adam.
He's too clever. I thought if I rushed it, he might just go, yes. Then I'd think, maybe Ben Keys? Or is he one of those players you don't worry about? Is it like Darcy Parrish? They just go head-to-head and who does the most damage?
I think I've learned over the past 2 years, Kim, that all this chessboard stuff has really changed. And Ken Inkley did say the whole issue of run with players has changed. And I'll be fascinated to talk to Josh Carr later on in the show about just how much it has changed and how many players are being told, if this guy comes into your territory, you lock him down, but not necessarily locked down for a full game.